It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I didn't want someone to bail me out. I wanted to feel the pain. And boy, you put my back against the wall, I will fight. I hope you risk enough in which you fail. Absolutely elevating every single piece we can touch.
Hello and welcome. I'm Michael Guymon. I am guest host today on The Upside. And The Upside is brought to you today by Tom Heath, the Heath team at Noah Home Loans, and the Sugar Skulls. And I'm glad that we're mentioning the Sugar Skulls, because guess what? My guest is someone who actually recently interviewed me. So it's a bit topsy-turvy day. It's bizarro world, as we remember from Seinfeld, where I'm interviewing you, Edmund Marquez, the president of the Sugar Skulls.
Yes, thank you. Very cool to be outside my normal chair to be interviewed, so thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Edmund. Well, I just want to start. I'll start similar to how you started. You and I are the same age. We graduated the same year. You from Sabino, me from CDO. We're native Tucsonans. Mm-hmm. We love this community. We will do anything for this community. But tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
Upbringing? Oh, gosh. Born and raised Tucson boy, Sabino High School, U of A. I've owned an Allstate agency. It'll be 30 years in November of this year, October. So October this year, I'll have owned an Allstate agency 30 years. I've emceed most of the majority of the events here. Yes. In Tucson. I've served on too many boards to mention. Currently the chairman of the Boys and Girls Clubs, vice chairman of Rio Nuevo. I'm on like 8 boards. So love this community.
You're still doing a lot of board work.
I am. And I'm going to MC less this year. I've been MCing like 23 to 25 events a year, which is a ton. Last year I did 13. My wife is super proud of me. I'm planning to do like 3 this year because we bought the Tucson Sugar Skulls.
Other than your just magnetic and dynamic personality, what do you love about MCing events?
Gosh, most people don't realize my mom owned a theater company for 35 years.
That's right.
I was the only jock at Sabino that was in theater. She put me into little theater classes called Tom Thumb Players when I was a little kid. I've just always kind of been on stage. When I was in theater at Sabino, I liked more when we got off script and they let me just improvise and goof off. I just had a blast. I've always enjoyed the laughter of a crowd. The best moments emceeing ever are when you're laughing and you can't speak because you're laughing too hard and the crowd's laughing at the same time and you just have an amazing moment together. But I've enjoyed it. And in the end, it became a talent God gave me so I can go and I can emcee an event. It was my way of giving back. I think my wife was absolutely done with going to all the events. I found myself in the last couple of years kind of going by myself, and I'd go there and I would emcee the event. I understand moving the pace of the event along. I know how to raise the money at the event and just have fun. It's my way of letting loose. It's my way of giving back. It's my way of loving the people of this community. And it's been a good time. I've been emceeing 20 years. 20 years.
20 years.
So yeah, I'm good. Like I feel like I can pass the torch a bit.
No, I think that's great, Edmund. And it just again goes to the character that you have and the love of the community that you have, the love of Tucson that you have, to give yourself up for these events and really lead in these events and lead these organizations. But I want to back up a little bit because I know you well. I know about your history. And I know I wanted to touch on, if you're comfortable, some sort of life lessons. Because I know that you owned a Subaru dealership.
Suzuki. That's all right. Same thing.
Same thing.
Japanese car maker.
Suzuki dealership.
Yep.
And I think you learned a lot of lessons from that. Sort of the ups and downs. I know through that you made a best friend in Jim Click, and he was a great mentor for you and has been for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the life lessons, the ups, and I know there were some considerable downs in that adventure
it was like
as well.
Ass whooping. Straight, I don't know if I can say ass whooping on this, but it's ass whooping. So I was super ambitious getting out of high school. I went to work at my dad's Allstate agency when I was in high school. Then I became the director of the Cedric Dempsey Cancer Center run at U of A my junior year of college my junior year. Broke all the records at that running event. We did 5,000 runners, raised $500,000 on a Sunday.
Wow.
Crazy. Then became the director of promotions for EG's. My boss had a heart attack in front of me at EG's. We literally saved his life with CPR, became the director of marketing for EG's while he was in the hospital. put my resume out there. Could have gone to Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers and Burbank gave me a job offer at the same time Allstate did. I went to Allstate. I was 22 years old, opening an Allstate agency. I became the number two auto producer in the country. Picked up 30 car dealerships. And anytime they sold a car day or night, I would do the insurance via my pager, my brick phone, my brick cell phone, my really slow laptop, and a fax machine. I became the number two auto producer in the country, started making more money than a 23-year-old at that time should. Good news is I was pretty protective of the money. I didn't just go make it rain or get crazy. I was pretty conservative with it. Long story short, bought my dad's Allstate agency from him, bought the building he was leasing, funded, helped my sister fund the purchase of 3 Chevron gas stations and Arco AM/PM gas station.
Right.
Then bought a car dealership to be like this Jim Click guy that I had always heard about.
Yep.
It was a small independent, became a medium, became a large. Then I got offered a Suzuki dealership, so we converted it to Suzuki. Learned the hard way about vertical integration, which is basically spending money with yourself. So I opened up my own service department, my own finance company, my own warranty company. And then I had a real estate investment company. So I owned 10 companies. I was considered Hispanic Business Magazine, one of their top CEOs in the country. I got Businessman of the Year here. I was driving a Ferrari. I was living in Ventana. I was spending tons of money on media every month. 2008 came, beat the crap out of me because I was over leveraged.
And you weren't the only one.
Oh, I know it, but
particularly
still,
you.
The one that called me and told me in the midst of all my leverage to shut everything down and file bankruptcy was Jim Click. He called me and just said, it's your God-given American right. You've done your best. You're over-leveraged. You're not going to sell your way out of this, because owning a car dealership, when the housing market's crumbling, the banks won't lend for houses and they're hurting, so they won't lend for cars. So we couldn't sell cars, so I was over-leveraged. So I went bankrupt. I lost my house right before Christmas. I made the front page of the business section as failed. And then I literally couldn't buy all the groceries that I needed. And I say to people, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Sure.
Life got very quiet. I had a conversation with myself, which is the most important conversation you can have is with you. And I said to myself, I had to ask myself, what do I want? What I wanted was, I need to spend more time with my wife. I've been working too much. I need to spend time with my kids. I've been working too much. I want to just run one company really well. I was like Cheesecake Factory, when I should have been more like In-N-Out Burger, right? I was running 10 companies. I should have been running one. And then once I get my act together, I want to give back to my community because it's where my business thrives and it's where my family lives.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I went back to Allstate. I basically starved for a year. During that year, I had 4 people in this community come to me and say, I know you're going to rebuild. I'll lend you money when you need to rebuild, when you want to buy more agencies. And I did. I starved for a year with Allstate. It's fine. It's good for me. I didn't want someone to bail me out. I wanted to feel the pain. And then we started buying agencies. Long story short, we bought 11 more agencies.
Wow.
My wife's my best friend. My kids are very well and successful and well-rounded. My agency is one of the biggest, at least in the West Coast. And I gave a ton back to the community. So
yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, getting my ass whooped.
Yeah. Well, everyone needs to go through those highs and lows. We talk about perseverance and true leaders and true business titans and individuals who achieve a great amount of success. They can't do it without breaking a few eggs.
You have to fail.
You have to fail.
I go speak to high schools and I tell them, I hope you risk enough in which you fail, because you can never learn just simply being successful. You have to feel the pain and you have to have your back against the wall. You get to gauge yourself as a human being. Do I have fight or flight?
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you put my back against the wall and I need to feed my kids and put a roof over their heads, I will fight.
That's right.
And I did. So it was good.
So let's go back to, I want to learn more about the relationship with Jim Click, because I know he's been a great mentor for you. You know, a lot of times in the community, we have really looked to Jim Click, not only to provide dollars for organizations, but also just that leadership, that again, sort of going back to that titan of industry who's there. Up in Phoenix, you look at people like Jerry Colangelo. So there's usually people within communities that are not only those titans of industry, but also the people that give back a lot. So talk about the lessons that you learned and maybe get into a little bit of, you know, Jim is getting older. He's doing well, but he's getting older. And, you know, do we Do we need to replace a person like Jim? Do people need to step forward to kind of take on that role?
Everyone knows the answer, and that's the answer, yes. So Clicker, I call him Clicker. Clicker turns 82 in April. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I love the man. I love him. Love him, love him. Like, I love the man. He is a fantastic human being. He and I will go to dinner. I've never gone to dinner with him where we haven't had somebody come up to him and say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for X. Mm. We once went to the wrong movie theater. We didn't know, we chose the wrong movie theater. We went into a restaurant. We sat there. The manager, whose name is Barb, came up to us and said, she said hi to me. I knew her from another restaurant. She turned to Jim and said, thank you so much for the money you send to my mom every month. And he's like, oh, you're welcome. And she walked away and she's like, I don't even know who that is. Like, right. We had a guy come up to us at Zinburger and say, thank you so much. You know my father. You got me on the field for the Broncos game so I could ask my wife to marry me at the Broncos. He's like, oh, I think I remember that. Like, he is such a fantastic human being, and he is passionate about people that are disabled. And I asked him one night, I'm like, is this because you have somebody in your family disabled? Mm-hmm. And he's like, he told me a story about when he was, I think, like 6 years old. He was there with Boompa's dad, Jim Click Sr., and he saw a handicapped little girl when he was a little boy. And he went over there just to be with her, to befriend her. How can he help her? And it's always just been in his system. But he's an amazing human being. I mean, this sounds snooty, but I was in with Laguna with him this summer, and we had a really deep conversation at breakfast after we did a spinning class together. And I just said, you know, what would you do if you had more money? What would you do? Like, what? I mean, your life, I think you'd still wear the same t-shirt, same shorts, same tennis shoes. You'd be the same dude. And he's like,
right.
He said, I'd give it away. So when he just recently sold his dealerships, I called him. I just said, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I know you built this legacy and you sold these dealerships. Like, you know, what's next? And he's like, I'll be fine. And I'm like, well, no, you'll be fine. You're good. He's like, no. He says, money can't bring you happiness. But I also had four CEOs of nonprofits call me going, oh my gosh, Mr. Click sold his dealerships. And I'm like, relax. It just means he has more money to invest in the community. But to your question, mm-hmm. we're going to be in a tough spot without him, because there's not many people that do what he does
right
at that level. So it's going to be an accumulation of numerous people, right, that are going to come together and try to offset Mr. Click and what he does for this community. But I don't know. I don't know. So I say to him all the time, I say, this community wouldn't be what it is without you. And he's like, no. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, we literally wouldn't. Like, if the city's shutting down the pools, he'll pay to keep them open.
Right.
If the elephants don't have a nice enclosure at the zoo, he'll pay for it. Like, his love language is giving. And it's from the biggest heart possible.
Yeah.
He's such an amazing human being. So, yeah, I love him.
And I know that's how you lead. I mean, you don't have the wealth or the gravitas. No. Well, you have the gravitas, but you don't have the largesse of someone like Jim Click, but you give back in other ways.
Yeah.
So obviously that's a big component of what you really learned from him.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's just part of your DNA as well.
He'll call me and leave me the nicest, sweetest voicemails, and I'll respond to him. I'm simply following in your footsteps.
Yeah.
And they're really big footsteps. So he's just an amazing human being. You know, we're going to be toast when he's not here. We got to fill that void.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah.
So speaking of giving things away, the United Way does a lot of that. The United Way is a great organization here. Tony Penn did a great job of really turning that organization around. Venetia Kerr is now leading that organization out of Denver. She is a rock star. I like her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing a lot of great work in this community, really continuing Tony's legacy, but also creating her own legacy. But you were on the board of United Way. You also led the Tocqueville Society. Talk a little bit about the importance of the United Way in the community and what the Tocqueville Society does as well.
Yeah, United Way, I like to say, is an index fund. So if you ever like have an S&P 500 index fund, not to get too in-depth here, but if you're basically an index fund is a group of things and the most high-performing things that you can put into that group. So United Way is an index fund. It basically takes the best nonprofits in town that align with what the United Way's vision is for the community, and it invests in those nonprofits. It invests in the best nonprofits that have that return on investment. It's why I aligned so well. I'm fiscally responsible and conservative. And it was it's great to see an organization like United Way, because if one nonprofit fails them or doesn't follow through or doesn't do what it says it's going to do, it literally removes that nonprofit and brings in the next nonprofit that fills out how the United Way is investing in our community. And being around Tony Penn, another like Mr. Click, a mentor of mine on the nonprofit side, Tony Penn is his past as he was an engineer. And then he learned the nonprofit side as he was at the YMCAs in San Antonio. He got educated on the fiscal platform of a nonprofit at Harvard. Mm-hmm. And then he brought that to our United Way. And our United Way, when he got here 15 and a half years ago, we were on the front page of the paper, upper fold, above the fold. We were busted.
Right.
Like it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was in bad shape. And he had to come in and clean that organization, fix that organization to get it back on track. And as I was involved in the United Way, I literally chaired their campaign. Then I chaired their campaign again. Then I became incoming chairman. Then I became chairman. Then I repeated as chairman. And then I was past chairman. I was always with Tony. And it was such an education. And we worked so well together.
Right.
Because he'd built such an amazing, impactful platform that was investing in our community. And I could come in with my MC personality and MC a board meeting, MC a campaign kickoff, and just was a cheerleader. And we broke all the records. He had a vision. And the vision was the board would raise more than $500,000 itself a right. year. And we did that both years I was chairman. We raised $500,000 from our board. He's amazing. And so as he retired and I became chairman of the Boys and Girls Club, as soon as we had a vacancy and in the CEO position, right. we brought Tony Penn in as interim, and we are getting Boys and Girls Club ramped up to that United Way level. And he's a great, great asset for our community.
That's great. So that it's interesting because you talk about some of these dynamics, and I was the CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber at the time. You were my incoming board chair. You wanted to become board chair because you wanted to turn that organization around with me as well. We developed a great bond and yeah. a great relationship and a great friendship through all of that. So it seems like there's a pattern here. There's a pattern between what a CEO should do versus what a board chair should do and the symbiotic relationship between those two. Talk a little bit more about the importance of that with United Way experience, with Tucson Metro Chamber experience, now with Boys and Girls Club experience and finding a new leader there. What should be that dynamic look like?
Yeah, if you want a strong organization, it's a special relationship between the chair and the CEO, period. Look what you and I did together at the Metro Chamber. Uh-huh. You have to have that connection. So the CEO runs the organization. The CEO is the lone employee of the board. But that CEO, as you have a vision for the organization and you're looking to have the impact in that organization, you have to have a board chair that can sell it to the board and tell the board why they're making certain decisions. And as long as they're in lockstep, you can do amazing things. Mm-hmm. And so when I got to Metro Chamber, I mean, frankly, and you know this, I'm just saying this on camera, basically. I was so used to the high level of thinking and the high level of efficiency of the United Way. When I got to the Metro Chamber, I felt like it was broken. I'm like, I was so confused. Like I was 6 years with Tony and we'd be hitting at this high level. Mm-hmm. And I came in, I remember the Metro Chamber, my very first board meeting, we were talking about a new person joining the board, and it wasn't the CEO joining the board. It was like somebody far down in the organization. And I raised my hand. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm new, but I'm so confused. Why aren't we talking to the CEO of this organization? And everyone just kind of stared at me. It's about high level thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what you and I did. We basically tore apart the Metro Chamber bylaws and structure and put them together on that Harvard model that United Way's on. And it's the same thing with Boys and Girls Club. It's a high level of operating to the point where you get efficiency and impact where the organization can have that impact within the community or within its members, and it uses its money wisely. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I can't stand inefficient organizations. It drives me crazy.
Yeah. I could certainly understand that. And we got to a very efficient place. The other organizations that you've worked with, I think, have gotten to a better, more efficient space. But I want to thank you for bringing that into my life. I mean, I'm the continual learner, right? And I think you're the same way.
Where it's
you can't just think that by doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results, that you're going to get anywhere in life. You need to continually learn. You need to continually look at these best practices, understand why they work, break them down, and try to move forward in that vein. And I think you've done a great job in doing that.
Yeah, you got to have the guts to make the decisions to update and upgrade an organization. And we did.
So now, I guess, what's next for you?
Well, we just bought the Sugar Skulls.
That's
taken like 23 of my 24 hours.
Yeah, and congratulations on that. So you not only just bought the Sugar Skulls, you are now the president of the Sugar Skulls.
Yeah.
And this has just been such a great thing for Tucson. We've had challenges in the past with sports teams, particularly non-U of A sports teams.
Yeah.
I can tell you the story, which I'm not, but tell you the story about the Gila Monsters, which was a hockey team. They announced and they never played a game.
Yeah.
So we've had this challenge with sports teams, but now with the Roadrunners and certainly with the Sugar Skulls, that's really elevating our game.
Yeah.
But you're president of that organization. So what does that look like? How do we elevate that even further?
That's awesome. I'm part of Rio Nuevo. 2019, we brought the Sugar Skulls. I got to know Kevin and Kathy Guy, the owners. I'm more of a front office guy. I love the front office. I like the business side of mm-hmm. sports. More interested in the business side of sports than I think the actual game at times. And I got asked about 5 months ago if I was interested in buying a small piece of the Sugar Skulls. The other owner was Ollie Farhang of the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, yep. Farhang Metcalf Law Firm. Ollie basically said, go for it, man. You negotiate it. So instead of me buying a small piece, we were basically buying 95% of the team. Kevin and Kathy Guy did a great job of creating an infrastructure, but they're also from Phoenix, which Tucson doesn't do that well with Phoenix. There's just a disconnect. Respectfully, I mean, they did a great job of what they put together. Long story short, I bought the majority of the team.
Okay.
Ollie Farhang is the second majority. And then we took the remaining percentage and sold 5% to 11 other CEOs in this community. So there's actually 13 CEOs that own your Tucson Sugar Skulls. And they had to not only invest in the team to buy a percentage, they have to invest every single year to sponsor it. Then they have to give us access to their vendors and their friends. And they have to help us sell sponsorships and tickets.
And tickets, right.
It's been amazing. I got Dennis Benet, legendary football coach at South Point, who owns a paving company. I got Jim and Allison Toffel, who own Tucson Racquet Club. I got Derek Polder, who's a juggernaut in the mortgage business. I got Brad Fader, who sold, I don't know how many companies Brad sold for done very well for himself. It's amazing. Gabe Navarez, Tony Romani, I'm going to forget some, Marco Mercaldo, Jay LaSalle. Like, it's amazing. I have a CEO board like the nonprofit United Way structure.
Right, yep.
And we put the same thing into the Sugar Skulls, but except I'm president and majority owner. So imagine Tony Penn being majority owner of United mm-hmm. Way. It's the same thing. I get a vested interest. And we are absolutely elevating every single piece we can touch of this team. It's locally owned now. We've just broken the record for season tickets. We've just broken the record for sponsorship dollars.
Oh, congratulations.
We're upgrading everything from helmets to game day experience, the front office to you name it. The Sugar Skulls will be a hell of a party. And buy your tickets now.
So kind of getting back to our previous conversation, you talked about a little bit about the structure, but you're running a football team now. So there's players, there's coaches. I mean, you've got the product has changed a little bit, maybe. I guess
A widget is a widget.
A widget is a widget. Okay. Yeah. So, because I was going to ask you, what are some of the differences, if there are any?
Of the past Sugar Skulls?
No. Of like running a nonprofit or a business.
It's all the same.
A football team.
It's what's the product? What's the value proposition? Can you sell it? Can you deliver it? We have activation in the Sugar Skull. So when we sell a sponsorship, we make sure that we follow through with all of our promises. The only difference between two big differences between Allstate and the Sugar Skulls. Number one, Allstate has clients and you're one of them. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Sugar Skulls have fans.
Right.
So, I mean, they actively reach out to me and DM me about what's happening with the team, what's going on. We're one of the few teams in the country that has a booster club.
So oh, that's
we have,
great.
We have boosters. Number two is with Allstate, you get an insurance policy where you protect you, your house, your life, your car. In Sugar Skulls, we have to have a game day experience. So that's where my emceeing comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I understand lighting. I understand sound. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now we're researching cryo cannons. We're researching, tunnels. I mean, just so many different things. We're trying to bring that party to the TCC as we fill the arena. I'll tell you, We have sold out of our suites. Our suites sold out. We have 14 suites around the field. They sold out in 10 minutes. Our tables on the upper concourse sold out. Our game day sponsorships have sold out. Our touchdown terrace up above for VIP experiences have sold out. Like, this will be night and day compared to what you've seen. And our goal, what we will do, is become one of the top, if not the top team in the indoor football league.
Nice.
Period.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, based on all the things that we've talked about, whether it's the Sugar Skulls, the insurance agency, Allstate, you name it, I'll ask you the same question you asked me. What is the upside? We love this community. What is the upside for this community?
Upside is, I will continue to love my wife, hang out with my kids, hang out with my friends, and win football games while I operate my Allstate agency. I think life, the more successful you get, the more freedom you get, the more time you can buy back. And I'm choosing to put my time towards my family, my friends, Allstate, and Sugar Skulls. And it'll be a blast to travel to San Diego to bring our Tucson team to beat the hell out of San Diego. My family originally is from New Mexico. My grandpa grew up on dirt floors, eating tortillas, very poor. His grandson's going to pull into the Albuquerque Convention Center with the Tucson Sugar Skulls to beat the crap out of the New Mexico Chupacabras. No offense to them. But it's very exciting. I'm ready, man. I'm super excited.
That's awesome, Edmund. Well, thank you very much. And, this is The Upside, brought to you by the Heath team at Nova Home Loans and the Sugar Skulls. Thank you very much for listening.